Just talking about this incident down at Rockhampton over the weekend, as I said, it certainly shows just how widespread this issue of youth crime is. I know it's no relief for those of us who are victims here in Cairns, and particularly how acute the problem is in our city, but it does at least show that we're not the only ones going through it. I was very interested to have a chat to my next guest. He's come to the phone. He's a fairly busy man as well, so we're lucky to grab a few minutes with him. His name is Torin O'Brien. Now, he is a former One Nation candidate down there in Rocky, but he's in the news today just about an incident in Rockhampton where his sister, and in fact his sister's newborn baby, a fairly terrifying break-in down there in Rocky. And so Torin has actually posted a $5,000 reward for information that he hoped would lead to these offenders. We've got him on the line now. Thank you, Torin, for your time on the talk show this morning. Torin, if you can, just walk us through the incident there that happened to your sister.
Yeah, well, I mean, as everyone knows, in Queensland, this crime has been widespread. It hasn't affected me personally until Friday night. And what had happened was my sister and a newborn had come in to spend the night with my nana on the other side of town, and so it was just the two ladies and my little baby nephew in the house, and she'd woken up with three of these people basically in her bedroom. She chased them out, and they grabbed a bag on the way out, you know, with my nana's handbag and some car keys and all things like that, and took off. And I had a missed call in the middle of the night, and I was very upset that I didn't answer it because it was about a 1 a.m. thing, and it was obviously very terrifying for them. So I do what I always do, and, you know, that's whip up a frenzy. So I, as you mentioned earlier, I put out a bit of a trap on Facebook. No one was ever going to get $5,000. And it worked. I got every bit of information I needed, the ringleaders' names, their whereabouts, their houses, their friends' houses. It was very easy to gather up, you know, literally a couple hundred people that had been through this themselves quite recently. And we went door to door to every one of those houses. And well, not every one of those houses, but the houses we had time to. And the police ended up getting on board, as much as they probably didn't really want it to go that way. They essentially ended up escorting us house to house to try and keep the calm. It was a really good group of people. There was definitely potential for it to get ugly, having that many people being so emotionally driven after everything they've been through. But for the most part, it all went really well. We made our presence really well known, and I ended up retrieving some of my family stolen things, and the fight continues on.
Right, there you go. And without obviously identifying who gave you that information after you posted that potential reward or not, as you just mentioned, I mean, were they mates of these alleged offenders that you got information from?
Yeah, so probably half of the people I got information from were like victims that have somewhat done their own homework, but it's probably a little bit intimidating to deal with. You know, some of these people have large numbers and they don't really care for human safety very much. And the other half of the people were their own family. So it wasn't their friends,
right.
It was actually
right.
Their own family, you know, uncles, aunties, those types of thing that gave us, gave me everything, including background stories and why they are sick of it and why how they've tried to help them in the future and all these kinds of things. So everyone's turning on them, their own family included. And I think they felt that when 100 people were surrounded their houses and they had to run out the back doors.
Well, paint a picture for us about what happened. You put that call out. Were you surprised by how many people turned up?
Not necessarily. That wasn't the intention initially. I was just trying to find this information for myself and I was going to head off and do my own thing. But once I got a little bit of traction, it was pretty clear that there was a much better opportunity here to raise this, you know, somewhat politically and make a bit of a movement. People here are sick of it. Some of the stories that we heard at the initial meet yesterday were just terrifying, like absolutely terrifying. There's so many stories of babies being in the room and then realising that these creeps had crept through there and, you know, just endless car thefts and cars getting burnt out and houses being damaged and just people were terrified. And so it didn't shock me at all that this many people were there, and it's not getting any smaller. Every house we went to, that same group of 30, 40 car convoy was there, and we'll be doing the same thing in a couple of days to a couple other houses, and we'll continue to do it. And wherever we're needed, much as we need.
Of course, Torin, it does bring up the issue of legality. What did police have to say to you about after yesterday?
Well, in the moment, I mean, look, we're not.
Because there are reports here. Sorry to interrupt, but there are reports here that they issued move-on notices. They had to effectively stand guard at some of these houses. I mean, what did police have to say to you?
No, there was no move-on notices issued whatsoever. And admittedly, having said that, though, we're not like the people we're chasing. We're all, you know, law-abiding citizens. We're business owners. We're family people. We're not there to attack people. We're there to take back our streets. And I had the conversation with the senior sergeant and the officers on site, and I literally asked the question, at what point does this create legal issues for you? When we go to the next place, what do you want us not to do? Yeah. And we got those things exactly. And look, there's no different than any type of protest. You know, if you want to go protest, you can, but you can't block a road. You have to stay on a footpath. You can't jump and, you know, there's things you can do. And so we just found out what those things we could do are, and we stuck to them. And we went house to house, and that's it. You know, had we been a different group of people, actually had the pitchforks out and doing things, it would have been a different story, but that's not what we're doing.
And so labels here, I think I've heard in the media this morning, calling it a mob of vigilantes. What do you have to say about that?
Oh,
label?
Look, I've actually been called racist already for this, which is hilarious. So people can call it whatever they want. It was 100 people upset that the law, the court system, the government had let them down for so many years on end, but they're taking matters into their own hands. So people can call it vigilante. They can call it a bunch of Aussie yobbos for all I care. We're going to do what we need to do because the courts aren't.
What's next then? You mentioned there that it's going to happen again in a couple of days. So what's sort of the next step? Where does it all lead?
So I'm on my way down to the police comments at the moment after I have this phone call and see what they've got to say. I'm going to meet with the police coming up this week. There was a meeting arranged yesterday with the police I was talking with. See exactly how we can go, because this is a large group of people. This isn't four or five upset people that are going to run around and cause trouble. This is hundreds of people that are committed and not going to change. So for me, my job really now is to communicate with the cops, communicate with this group of people, and just keep everything calm. You know, make our presence heard and bring up what we need to bring up, but we just need to remember that we're the good guys and we've got to keep acting like that.
Is it difficult to keep that many people in line, though? I mean, you might obey the law and be sensible about it, as many others are who are joining you, but,
yeah.
I mean, is that a concern that you can't control when that many people get together? Tempers do flare. Yeah. Is that a risk?
Yeah. It's definitely a risk. I think it'd be foolish to think it's not a risk. But, you know, and the police have said this to me, and they've said this to the group yesterday, but, you know, my answer's pretty simple. You know, yesterday they had probably the fastest and biggest police response I've ever seen in Rockhampton, ever. I've never seen right. So many cops get there so fast. And why were they there? To protect a couple of crims hiding in a house waving a machete out a window. That's why they were there fast. So when we needed our cars not to be stolen or people not to be crawling through our house with our babies, they're nowhere to be seen. There's been stories of, you know, they're not showing up for many times after things are reported. So when you've got that many people being told by police to go home, to stay safe and all these kinds of things, they sort of just laugh at them. And people now at the point where they don't even care about the law. So it's very hard to manage, particularly when some of these people have suffered things that are so emotionally charged that you just can't, you know, people have lost loved ones. People have died here recently because of these thugs in stolen cars. So, you know, you go and tell someone who's lost a loved one recently just to calm down and stay safe. Well, there is no safe anymore. We're not safe. That's why this is happening.
Yes, as you said, well, people have lost their lives. We've been covering that tragedy down near Maryborough extensively on the talk show, so you can imagine the emotion, as you said. Oh, look, most importantly, Torin, were the offenders arrested?
No, so there was two. There was the issue that I had with my family. There was a couple of people arrested the next day, but I don't know at all if they were directly related to it. These crews are quite large and sometimes they spread out and do different areas of town at the same time. Hence why I wanted information for all of them, just so we can go and get all of them. So don't know if the particular ones were arrested. A couple gapped it out of the one house that we went to. There's plenty more information that the police have actually learned. The police actually learned a lot yesterday. They didn't even know where the places we were going. Some of them didn't even have the addresses. So hopefully now with more information and more motivation, the police should be more motivated now. We'll start seeing a little bit more action.
And what will you do if you encounter one of these young offenders when you're outside their home? If they try and take off, what's the plan?
Well, a couple did try to take off, and I believe a couple of police chased, and about 10 or 15 other people sprinted off and chased, and I have no idea what happened at the other end. I was staying to the cops, talking to the senior sergeants at the venue, or venue at the home. So my answer is I don't know. I mean, I want this to be more like a neighbourhood watch patrol because the police keep screaming that they don't have the resources, so we can give them resources. And if something, you know, if people keep saying, look, this could end badly, what if it gets, you know, something violent happens? But honestly, the violence has already happened. It's already ended badly. We're all here because it's all ended badly for us. And, you know, if something happens, that's unfortunate, but we're already the victims. It's already happened to us every time. So tough, basically, tough.
All right. Wow. Yeah, it certainly shows the extent to what youth crime, the impact that it's having. And, of course, it's not just in Rocky where you live, Torrin. You would know that it's happening right across Queensland. I think Cairns now are pretty much the stolen capital of certainly of Queensland, if not Australia at the moment. So, yes, we can certainly empathise with the action that you're taking, not to condone it, of course, but...
Oh, look, and even myself, I don't like that this is happening. I don't like that this has to happen, but... When you've got, you know, our MPs here that have been preaching nonsense about the crime rate for so many years and then caught out fizzing live on debates. I've debated Barry O'Rourke live myself about crime statistics in 2020. And he had the nerve to say that crime had gone down 40%. I think he might have been talking about cases of people getting booked without a seatbelt or something. But in reality, 3,000% increase was car theft, armed robbery, all these serious ones. So it's not just... a court letting people out early. It's MPs doing nothing. It's cops that are scared to speak out against essentially the people that pay them. There's a whole range of things here that needs to happen and change. And hopefully now they see hundreds of people angry on the streets doing it themselves, they might actually have the courage to stand up and do it.
All right. Well, look, be interested to stay in touch with you, Torrin, if you don't mind, just to see how it unfolds. I'm sure that a huge, huge cohort of our listeners will be listening intently, taking matters, effectively taking matters to the streets into your own hands. So that's the point it's got to. Torrin O'Brien, thanks for your time on the 4CA Talk Show this morning.
No, thanks very much.
There you go. That's Torrin O'Brien. He's a resident in Rockhampton. We should say, of course, he was also a former One Nation candidate down there in the seat of Rockhampton.